God, thank you for being good to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you that we can come together like this and sing and remember the cross. And thank you that when we read this book that you have promised that you speak to us. So God, I pray that you would help us to understand, and I pray that you would help us to be changed by what we read today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we are going through the book of Matthew, and in honor of Christmas next week. Next week, we're actually going to stay in Matthew, kind of, but we're going to go backwards, not forwards. You can do the math and figure out where we're going there. But anyway, that's next week. This week, we're going to continue, again, not going forward. We're going to stay the same place we were last week. There's something else that is in the story that we saw last week that I want to take a look at. What we saw last week in the story, in the temptation of Jesus, was how to recognize temptations. And we landed really heavy on, okay, how do I see temptations in the moment, not afterwards, but when they're actually happening? Because so often I get tempted and I don't realize in the moment I'm being tempted and I fall into temptation and I do something or say something or feel something I shouldn't do. And then afterwards, it's like, oh, that was a temptation. And if I would have just seen in the moment, I could have resisted it better and I could have done something differently, but I saw it too late. So we talked last week about how to recognize temptations, and then today what I want to look at is the second part of that, which should be pretty easy to figure out as well. It's when you recognize the temptation in the moment, how do you fight against it? How do you battle the temptation in the moment so that you can come out on the other side victorious and not looking back and saying, shouldn't have done that, shouldn't have said that, shouldn't have thought that, shouldn't have felt that. Once again, I fell into it. How do we fight against our temptations? And when we think about temptations, when we think about sin, we realize we have a problem. Actually, two problems. We remember a couple of, and they're not happy things because they're problems. They're things we would rather not think about, but we're talking about temptations, so we should think about them. One is, we know that we should be better than we are. No matter how good you feel like you project that you are, you know inside that you should be better, could be better than you are right now. And the second problem we have is that we battle temptations trying to be better, and we fail. So go in order. The first problem, we know we should be better. We know we should. Why? Because we say things like, I'm not going to do that again, and then we do. Not going to say that again, and then we do. We say things like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to say that, and we do it. We say, that wasn't me when it was me. We know we should be better. We say something or do something. Something comes out of us, and we say, "I don't know where that came from." I don't know. I said that, but that's not how I feel. That's not who I am. We know we should be better than we are, and we want to be better. Isn't that why we feel bad when we do things we shouldn't do? Because inside we have a desire. I wish I could be better. And then we read the Bible and we see God calls us to be better than we are. There's a couple verses, and you read it, it's everywhere, but a couple verses that just come to my mind immediately whenever I think about this is, one is 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, which says, he who says he is in Christ, I think that's what it says, paraphrase, let's read it. 1 John 2, 6. Sometimes the verse is just there, sometimes it's not. That's why we bring the book. Okay, 1 John 2, verse 6. Whoever says he abides in him, in Jesus, so whoever says he is in Christ, ought to walk in the same way he walked. So if you say you're in Christ, you should live the way Jesus lived. Incredibly high standard. I read that and I say, I need to be better, because I am not even close to being like Jesus was. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, or chapter 1, verse 16. Listen to this. This is just, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I, God, am holy. God says, my children have to be holy. What is holy? Perfect. Set apart from sin. I read that and I go, I need to be better. I know I should. God tells me I should. And then we sin. We disobey, we're tempted, we're not perfect. And last week and now this week, we've been talking about temptations kind of in a, you know, just a generic sense, but I want to make this very practical because it's not until I'm thinking about the things that I'm actually tempted with and consistently fall down in that thinking about how to recognize them and then fight against them becomes very practical for me. So I would like for us to think about, okay, this question. What are my persistent sins? What are the things that I just over and over again just kind of, I fall into these. I'm going to read off a list that I'm pulled from, and you can go and look later on, Ephesians 4 and 5, Paul talks about these sins, and I just kind of culled the different sins that he mentions there. There's sins of not saying the truth, whether you're deceiving and spinning things or out and out lying. There's sins of sinning when we're angry. I'm angry and I lose control of my emotions and my words and my actions. They're sins of taking what is not mine, whether I'm stealing something from Walmart or I'm putting down more hours on my time card than I actually worked. They're sins of speaking words that I shouldn't speak, whether that's actual four-letter bad words or whether it's gossip or whether it's insults. There's sins of bitterness, not forgiving another person and just holding on to that and stewing over it. There's sins of wrath and anger and explosions of wrath. There's sins of yelling and screaming and saying things, bad things to other people. There's sins of wanting and desiring and doing bad things to other people. There's sexual impurity sins. There's doing and thinking and seeing and speaking things that are sexually impure, whether it's jokes or whether it's with a person or whether it's on a screen. There's sins of greed, of wanting and looking and seeking for and buying and pining over things that I don't need. There's sins of complaining. There's sins of getting drunk or inebriated, whether it's with drugs or alcohol, changing my mental state chemically. So I looked down while I was reading that list, one, because I didn't memorize it, and two, because it's really uncomfortable, like, you know, talk about specific sins and look at other people. So as I read that list, what are your persistent sins? What are the two, or don't answer out loud, obviously, what are the two or three things that just come up in your life over and over again? Maybe there's only one. But if you're sitting there and go, I don't think I have one, ask your spouse, ask somebody who lives with you, ask your child, your parent, think it through. What are your persistent sins? Okay, now that you have that, we know we should be better. And our second problem is we battle these things and we fail. Isn't that like the vicious cycle of our lives? We try to fight against temptation, but we feel so powerless because they just overwhelm us. And I know that I should resist this temptation, but I feel in the moment that I'm not able to. And whether it's anger or gossip or buying something I don't need, whatever it is, it just overwhelms me and I fight against it and I fall and I fight and I fall and I fight and I fall. And sometimes it feels like the only thing that is that I'm able to do well, because I do it all the time, is fall into temptation and then repent afterwards. I'm really good at that. But as far as resisting in the moment and say, no, I'm not going to do that. And so we fall down over and over again. And many times, even those of, if you wear the name, I'm the child of God, many times we live as actual slaves to our persistent sins as opposed to victorious children of God over our flesh. We need to know how to battle our sins. I remember once I talked about a passage of scripture that had to do with sin and, you know, really just lifted up the whole, we shouldn't sin, and then we need to battle our sins. And then at the end of the message, a gentleman came up to me, a really good friend, and he has been a Christian a lot longer than I have, and he came up and he said, why didn't you tell us how? Like, yeah, that's right. Because we know we should be better. We know we need to know how to fight. We come to church and we hear, you need to be better. Could you imagine What if God's Word gave us some ways to fight against sin, some actual techniques that we could put on our tool belt and say, okay, I have these ways that I fight against sin when I'm in the moment of temptation? That's what our text today gives us. Some very practical ways that you and I can fight against sin when we're in the moment and when we are being tempted. And there's just, let me just make a little note before we go to our text. What we're going to look at today, how to fight against temptations in the moment, is for everyone, but it's different for all of us. It's different for you if you are a Christian, if you are a child of God, if you've made your decision to follow Jesus, if you've repented and been baptized and told Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior, then this is your battle. This what we're going to look at today is how you are to battle temptation. If you still have not made that decision and you have not given yourself to Jesus and said you're my Lord and Savior, well, this isn't your battle yet. Your first step, your first battle is with your heart to come to the point of saying, I will surrender myself to Jesus. Once you do that, then this will be your battle. So whether it is or it will be someday, this is a battle that is common for all of us. And the big idea, go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. The big idea from this section, that if you fight sin like Jesus, if you battle sin like Jesus, you can overcome it. You can be victorious in the moment of temptation. If you battle sin like Jesus, you can be victorious in the temptation. Why do I say that? Well, because as we're going to see, Jesus was tempted repeatedly in a moment of great mental and physical weakness. And he battled the temptation and he overcame it. And I think the story in part is there so that we can look at that and say, okay, if I battle temptation the way Jesus did, I can also be victorious over my temptations. So let's read this story again, now with an eye to see how did Jesus battle temptation. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands he will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. He was tempted three times, and he resisted the temptation. He battled them effectively because he overcame them in that moment of temptation. So there are three techniques that Jesus used that I see in here. There's probably more. You probably can see more. And if you do, that's wonderful. Write them down as well. Use them. There's three techniques that jump out at me, though, that I think that we can use to battle temptation the way Jesus did. The first one, he battled temptation by being very definitive. It was very black and white to him. He didn't play with the temptation. He said no right away. One of my problems is a lot of times that I'm tempted and I just live in the temptation for a minute. I think about it. I play with it in my mind. I think it through. I don't say no right away. I don't say no quickly. I sit on it for a while. Because even thinking about it is kind of fun. Even imagining what I would like to say to that person who just took my parking place and then, oh, that would be, I could just imagine. I just sit there for a moment thinking about it. I play with the temptation in my mind. When do you play with temptation in your mind, thinking it over? You're not going to do it. You're not going to say it. You would never say that to that person. You would never do it, but you think about it. Maybe you're thinking it through and you're kind of starting to justify it. It wouldn't be that bad. I don't think it's really a sin, is it? I know I shouldn't, but is it a sin? Nobody's going to say that I was wrong if I do that. People do a lot worse things than that. We think these thoughts, we're playing with it. Jesus didn't do that. He was definitive. He didn't sit on the temptation going, stones, bread, I'm hungry, and I could... I could make them into like warm bread that just came out of the oven, the really good stuff. You put honey on, that would be, he didn't sit there thinking about it. And then we start thinking of excuses. It wouldn't be that bad. Jesus could have said that. I'm God. I can do anything I want. How bad would any of this really be for me to do? I'm weak. How often do we say, you know, I haven't eaten right. I haven't slept last night. That's why I'm irritable today. Jesus could have said all of that. He could have said, you know, I'm weak. I've been fasting. So, you know, it's not, I know I'm going to sin. And so he didn't, he was definitive. He thought, he didn't think about it in the moment. Sometimes we're by ourselves and you know, the car windows are closed, and so maybe we speak in a tone and only our children are there, and so we speak to them in a way that, well, nobody else is going to see. He was by himself in the desert. Who was going to see him? He didn't play with the temptation. He didn't fantasize about what would it be like to say that or do that or think that or take that. Or he said no. He didn't negotiate with God. He didn't negotiate with Satan. He said no. He was definitive. And that's something that for us, we can look at and say, okay, for me to battle my temptations like Jesus, I have to be definitive. I can't sit there sitting on the temptation, thinking about it, playing with it, fantasizing with it. Not going to do it, but no, I have to say no. Because we know that when we sit on the temptation, we get weaker. And we're more likely to give in. We battle temptation like Jesus by being definitive. We also battle temptation like Jesus by being stubborn. How often do we get tempted? We say, no, no, no. And then we're like, okay, got that one. Then something else happens. No. And then something else happens. And it's like, by the third time, fourth time, it's like, and then we do something we shouldn't do, say something we shouldn't say. It's because we've just been worn down by all the times Satan has just stubbornly been saying, you should do this, you should do this, you should do, well, not that, well, what about this, well, what about this, well, what about this? And then we do something, and we resisted all these other times, and we didn't this time. We battle temptation like Jesus by being stubborn, by being more stubborn than Satan. He's going to tempt us over and over and over again, and we have to be more stubborn than Satan. And you know, if you're a parent, you tell your kids, if parents, they probably told you, don't be stubborn. You know, we're supposed to be stubborn in this time. When we're being tempted by the tempter, who is very stubborn, look at this. He came after Jesus three different times, just kept coming. It's like, good grief, leave me alone. No, he kept coming. And that's the way we're supposed to be when we resist him. We have to be stubborn as well. It doesn't matter how many times in a day I'm tempted to lose my patience. Don't like talking about that one, but I shouldn't. I should stubbornly say no. I'm going to be patient like Jesus was. We are supposed to be stubborn. That's another way that we fight temptation like Jesus. And then the big one, the one that just jumps out all over this, is we battle temptation like Jesus by using God's word in the moment of temptation. Isn't that what Jesus did? He was being tempted. And how did he respond to Satan? The only thing he said is, it's written. God's word says, God's word says, God's word says. And he quoted scripture from the Old Testament. He quoted word for word scripture in the moment. One verse, very clarifying. It told him what God's will was. It told him what he should do. And it gave him power to say, I'm not going to do that. See, if we believe that God's word is living and powerful, what does Hebrews 4:12 say? Flip over there really quick. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight. All are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. He says the actual words of God, the words that God inspired, are living and they're powerful. And when we read them, when we say them, they get inside of us. They pull back our intentions. There's certain verses that I can say in certain moments of temptation, and they're clarifying. It's like, no, 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 no. As much as I want to justify doing that or saying that or thinking that or feeling, this is what God's word says. That one verse clarifies it all, And it's powerful. It shows me what's really going on inside my heart. It convicts me of the sin that's making me want to do that. And it gives me the power to say, no, I'm not going to do that. The best advice that I ever heard, and it comes from this passage in Matthew, was I was listening to a message by someone, and he put in this phrase, fighter verses. And then he explained, a fighter verse is simply a verse in the Bible that has to do with your with the temptation that you frequently succumb to. So, you know, you frequently succumb to, I don't know, it's Christmas time, let's get in the spirit, to buying things you don't need. Well, you go over to Ephesians 5 where he says, greed, which is idolatry. So now if I'm on Amazon, oh, this is going to ruin the next 2 weeks for me. Why did we go here? Okay, so if I'm on Amazon or at the mall, whatever, I don't go to the mall, but if I'm on Amazon and I'm going and I'm looking and I see, I would like that and I would like that. My wife would like this. I would like to buy my wife this. I would like to buy my kids. Do we need this? And greed, which is idolatry. See, right there, that to me is going to, maybe I'll forget it. Be nice. Probably won't, shouldn't. I should use that as a fighter verse because that's clarifying. It's like greed, which is idolatry. I have to have greed, which is idolatry. I'm putting something else in the place of God. He's clarifying, and it exposes my heart. I'm not just shopping because I'm wasting time or I'm tired or sad or in the spirit or whatever. I'm being idolatrous. It exposes my heart. And if I use that verse and if I say those words over and over again in the moment of temptation, greed, which is idolatry, that just might give me the power to click the little X in the corner and leave that page and get back to work. See, that's how fighter verses are supposed to work. That's what Jesus did. You say, is that biblical? Well, that's what Jesus did. In the moment of temptation, he pulled out a verse out of the Old Testament and said the verse. Maybe he only had to say it once. Maybe you and I have to repeat it over and over and over again in the moment. But it clarifies the temptation, exposes our hearts, and it gives us the power to move past that point of temptation. Those are three techniques that Jesus used. He was definitive, didn't play with the temptation. He was stubborn. He kept saying no every time he was tempted. And he used the Word of God to battle temptation. There's three more techniques that you see in this example, but not necessarily because Jesus did them. The first one, but we need to use these. The first one is getting up when you've fallen down and keep fighting. How often do we fall into sin? We do something and then we just kind of give in to it for the rest of the day. I'm just going to be mad today. I'm just going to, I did that, shouldn't do that. Well, you're just going to kind of stay there. We don't see this technique being used by Jesus. Why? Because he was perfect. He never fell into sin. He didn't have to get up after falling into sin and keep going. You and I have to do that regularly. See, that's what we have to do if we're going to battle temptation like Jesus. We have to get up and battle temptation the next time. Even when we've fallen down, we have to silence the voice of condemnation that says, see, look at how bad you are. We have to get up and say, no, I'm going to battle temptation like Jesus, and if I am in Christ, there's no condemnation for me. Another way that we battle temptation, and we see this in what happened to Jesus, is by remembering the cycle. Remember the cycle. What do I mean by that? Well, look at what happened to Jesus. Satan came, he tempted him, and then, not Matthew anymore. Look at verse 11 when we get there. Matthew 4, verse 11. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. So Satan was tempting him. And then angels came and ministered to him. He was tempted, and then there was relief from the temptation. And don't you think that in the moment of temptation, that it felt like that was all that was going on in the world, and it felt like it wasn't going to end, and it felt just overwhelming? Isn't that how our temptations feel? Like, I might as well just buy it, or say it, or do it, or think it, or whatever. I might as well just do it, because it's not going to get any easier saying no later. Remember the cycle. The cycle of temptation is we're tempted, and then if we resist, and then there's relief after that. The temptation goes away. Isn't that what, look at James 4, verse 7. Isn't that what James is referring to when he says, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Look at, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Doesn't say he won't come back later and tempt you again. He will. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. That's the cycle. We resist, and that gives us hope in the moment. If I can just make it through this moment, the temptation is going to flow away, kind of like the ebb and flow of the tide. The last thing to remember is actually a question. Because if you've been following this conversation with a biblical mind, you might be thinking, where is grace in all of this? We've been talking about fighting and battling, and I have to fight my temptation like Jesus, and where is God's goodness and grace and love and favor? Where is God in all of this? This sounds a lot like, I got to be a better person, and I got to fight to be a better person, and I know I should be, so that makes sense, but then where's the grace of God in all this? Listen, God's grace, God's goodness is all over our battle over sin. God's goodness and grace is all over our as we fight temptations. It's in the cross. When we fall into sin and we remember the cross, and remember there's no condemnation for me, even when I battle sin and I fail, God's goodness and grace is all over our battle with sin. God's goodness and grace is seen in the desire to be better. Isn't it true that if you're God's child, that you have this desire inside of you to be the person God wants you to be? That's God's goodness. He's pulling you towards himself. God's grace is seen in our battle over sin. It's seen because he gives us the strength to battle. If you look at your life today and you look at your life 5 years ago or a year ago or a month ago or 12 years ago, isn't it true that you've changed? Who gave you the strength to battle temptation over the years and over the months? That's God's goodness and grace in the middle of our battle for over temptation. Who made you become a different person? It was God. God's goodness and grace is woven throughout our battle in the moment of being tempted. So what should we do if we know we should be better, and if we fall down and fail over and over again? What should we do in order to overcome the temptation and be the person that we know we should be, that we know God wants us to be? We should battle our temptations like Jesus. We should battle in the moment of temptation. When we recognize temptation, we should battle like Jesus. What does that mean practically? Just two practical applications. If you're not God's child yet, if you haven't made the decision to give yourself to him, to repent and be baptized, listen, you can battle temptations on your own. You won't be battling them like Jesus. The only way to battle temptations like the Son of God is to become a child of God yourself. And when you do, when you give yourself to Jesus, when you repent and are baptized, and when you make him the Lord of your life, he gives you forgiveness. And he gives you his Holy Spirit, who gives you strength and guidance to be able to battle your temptations like Jesus battled his temptations. And if you haven't made that decision, I would say that's your next step. Become a Christian. Give yourself to Jesus. Tell someone here you can repent and be baptized. If you already are a Christian, then how do you battle temptations like Jesus? Well, all the techniques we talked about, but specifically, the biggest thing you can do this week, think about the one persistent sin that just gets you every time. What is it? Okay. Find a verse. One verse that talks about that. Memorize that verse. If you're like, I don't know any verses about anger or gossip or complaining, or I don't know any verses about being pure with my eyes. I don't know any verses about, okay, ask somebody. Ask somebody. Yeah, but then they'll know I struggle with that. Right, that's called confession. That's biblical. That's good. In fact, ask them to pray for you. James 5 talks about that. Ask them to pray for you and ask them for a verse that goes with that temptation. You want one verse that talks about that thing. If you don't want to confess, go to Google, whatever. Find a verse that talks about the one temptation that's your biggest temptation. Memorize it. And then this week, every time that temptation comes up, just repeat that verse in your mind. Isn't that like doing a mantra or something? No, it's God's living and active word, and you're letting it permeate the moment of your battle, and it will make all the difference as you battle against temptation. So, think about your temptation, Find a verse, memorize it, and then every time you're tempted, just say that verse. Could it be any more practical than that? I didn't think so either. But it's not fun. Anyway, it works. So why don't we stand? We'll pray together, and then we will sing. God, we come to you right now, and we thank you because you are good. We know without even thinking about it that you call us to be more like you. You call us to be different. And where that could end up in guilt and shame and condemnation, you're so loving and gracious because you show us ways that we can fight against our sin. And you give us your powerful word that in the moment of temptation can help us overcome. Help us to be like Jesus and battle our sin. Help us to be more stubborn than the devil. Help us to be definitive and not play with temptation. And help us to have a fighter verse. And bring that verse to our mind by your Spirit, God, when we're being tempted. And help us to find your clarity and your power that comes from your word in the moment of temptation. And help us to overcome our temptations like Jesus did. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.